In Betty's room, and we're gonna hear first Senate Bill 261, an act relating to the release of employment security records. It's actually an unemployment compensation cleanup. Dwight, is that correct?
Yes, it is, Senator.
At the request of the Department of Labor. Do you want to run us through it?
Sure. Thank you, Senator. For the record, my name is Dwight Perkins. I'm the Special Assistant to the Commissioner, Department of Labor. I will give a brief overview of the different sections we're involved with, and then I have Ron Torgerson, no family member to the Senator, but our man Ron Torgerson, Department of Labor, here answer technical questions. The bill before the committee makes several changes to the Employment Security Act in six major areas: federal income tax, withholding, confidentiality of records, contributions and collection, benefit overpayments, finality and determinations, and appeals. In addition, the bill contains a few minor and technical amendments. In the income tax withholding, one important change brings the Employment Security Act into conformity with a new federal provision that requires states to allow claimants to have income withheld from their benefits to cover their federal income tax liability. The confidentiality of records proposed changes to AS 2320110 would allow the department to provide additional specific unemployment insurance information to other entities under strict disclosure guidelines. This information exchange will support and enhance the department's own programs as well as assisting other state programs. The information would be used only to protect the Unemployment Compensation Fund, enhance employment, training, and labor market information programs, and assist the state eligibility verification and collection of functions. These changes do not rescind the public disclosure prohibitions already in AS 2320110. They are intended only to increase efficiency of state government while retaining current privacy safeguards. Contributions and collections. Two provisions would provide important tools for collecting delinquent contributions. First, from an employer who is at least two quarters delinquent in making contributions to the Unemployment Compensation Fund. The bill also allows the department to enjoin a delinquent employer who refuses to post a bond or pay contributions from operating as an employer. The department would use these provisions only in situations where existing remedies in the Employment Security Act are not effective, as, for example, where an employer operates without significant assets subject to lien or seizure. These uncollectible accounts are currently being subsidized by the rest of Alaska's employers who pay contributions timely. An additional change allows the department to notify employing units or the employer of their contractors or subcontractors' liability for contributions to the Unemployment Compensation Fund. This information will help employers to meet their obligation to require contribution bonds of their subcontractors before making contract payments. In the benefit overpayment section, the standard for waiving unemployment insurance overpayments would be changed from great hardship to equity and good conscience. The new standard would allow the department to consider other factors, such as the degree of good faith in claiming benefits and the claimant's detrimental reliance on the benefits. The bill would also permit the department to write of uncollectible overpayments after 2 years. Practice has shown that most recoverable overpayments are collected within 2 years. The finality and of determinations, the department would be given clear authority to correct any determination during the benefit year of an unemployment claim. This change will increase the accuracy of claim adjudication. In the appeals section, a proposed amendment would provide a uniform 30-day period for filing appeals from any determination made by the department. The current 15-day period probably impacts rural parties unfairly and may not allow enough time to review and consider an appeal. A longer period would still allow for prompt disposition of claims and assets. The bill would also clarify the legal effect of appeal decisions. It would make it clear that findings of fact and conclusions of law in unemployment hearings are not binding in another proceeding. The purpose of this amendment is to prevent parties from excessively litigating issues based on the effect the department's rulings may have on a later civil litigation. This change will help keep unemployment hearings speedy, informal, and inexpensive. Both the 30-day appeal period and the provision restricting the scope of the department decisions address concerns of a recent legislative audit of unemployment insurance appeals process. Excuse me. And finally, minor and technical changes. Additional amendments would allow an insured worker to continue receiving unemployment benefits while attending the funeral of an immediate family member, require a worker to file a compensable claim for the week immediately before jury duty or attendance at a funeral in order to receive an eligibility exemption for those reasons, exempt extended benefit claimants from the work search requirement while attending an approved training course, correct the definition of a waiting week in the Employment Security Act, and clarify the treatment of cafeteria plan payments under the wage definition of the Act.
Can you explain that a little further, cafeteria?
The cafeteria sections? Let's see here. Ron, do you have that on handy on you?
The last section of the bill.
Yes.
Second to last section. What's it mean?
Okay, this amends employee compensation payments, which are not deemed wages, and they are therefore not subject to the employment security contributions. It specifies that the cafeteria plan payments are not considered wages so long as the payments would not be otherwise treated as wages under the Act. For example, payments made to a cafeteria plan for retirement or medical expenses would not be considered wages.
So this exempts them from being considered as wages? They are considered as income by the IRS, right? But we're exempting them from being considered as wages?
My understanding of it, Senator, is no. That the wages is what your hourly pay wages. The work, the benefits are other compensable benefits, but not considered as wages.
So what are we doing with those other compensable benefits?
Rondi, come on up. Just pull your chair.
You can speak from there to the mic.
Sure. My name is Ron Torgerson. I'm a hearing officer with the Department of Labor, Mr. Chairman. I worked on the drafting of this bill. The question was how we treat these other payments. I can't answer for certain exactly what the taxable status with respect to the employee is on those payments, but right now they're exempted from Federal Insurance Contribution Act tax and also the FUTA tax, the Federal Unemployment Tax. So there's no federal payroll taxes on those payments, and what we're trying to do here is just make sure the Employment Security Act harmonizes with the federal standards so that employers know that it's not taxable for either state or federal purposes.
Okay. That pretty much sums it up, Senator, and we do have, you know, if you want more detail, have questions to this point, we'll be more than happy to answer them. We do have a sectional, more detailed sectional. If you had time to review that, we can answer any questions you may have.
It's in the packet.
But we're here at your pleasure to answer whatever questions you may have.
Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I have a couple of questions
sure.
that are not exactly on the bill, but related. If we have an employee in Alaska who fails a ear analysis drug test, and they're going to be a Department of Transportation employee, are they eligible for unemployment benefits?
Ron, do you have another answer?
Senator, we do not have a we don't have a standard that we apply to people that are going to take a job and fail the test and therefore don't qualify and can't accept the job. We don't have any case law or anything specifically in our statute that would support a disqualification.